Another update for you from Quincy School Committee Vice Chair Anthony Andronico after the latest school committee meeting. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again, Joe. I appreciate it.
That's our pleasure. Appreciate the time. I hope these updates are helpful for parents and for students and staff. They are for me, I know, and I've got some positive response from our viewers that enjoy hearing and listening and seeing them, including folks on the QPS staff. So I thought we'd
get Well, I know sometimes it can be difficult to watch a 3+ hour school committee meeting on a Wednesday night, but I think these interviews give folks an opportunity to kind of get a Cliff Notes version of our meetings.
Yeah. We're chatting the Friday before the Thanksgiving holiday, of course. So I'm sure that came up at the last meeting.
It did. Yeah, we talked with Health Commissioner Jones a little bit just about what families should do, ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, we're a little worried and concerned about gatherings in general. What we're seeing now, not just in Quincy, but across Massachusetts and in the country, is now that the weather's getting just a little bit colder, people are starting to gather indoors, and most of the spread is coming from those types of gatherings. So, if you are going to gather, we ask that you do your best to not have too many households in one area. Do your best to spread out. And I know the QPS team has been posting, not reminders, but just helpful tips for folks in things like their newsletters or just their weekly updates to their families that they're a part of. So, we're just a little concerned about that. But I think, like we always will, we'll monitor the numbers. And I think the good news for us is that to date, we haven't seen that in-school spread that a lot of us were concerned about earlier on in the year. But I think, when you haven't gone through something like this before, you don't know until you know. So we'll continue to monitor that as we move forward, but we trust our families and QPS to do what's best.
Yeah, of course, just today, Quincy as a whole is now in the yellow category on the state's risk assessment map. Has there been any discussion as to when there might be some change in the hybrid learning model if that, increases?
Yeah, so for the first time, we, from our last meeting this past Wednesday to our meeting prior to that, the COVID-19 metrics that the state uses in those color-coded metrics that you're referencing had changed. So, the map used to be you were in the green if it was less than 4 cases per 100,000, yellow if it was 4 to 8, and red if it was 8+. Those have since changed to incorporate positivity rate and also change the overall number of cases. So now Quincy's in the yellow according to the new metrics, which from my recollection were 10 plus average cases per day over a 2-week period, or a positivity rate of 4% plus. So it's either or for that. And you go to the red if you have an and, so if it's both of those things. So Quincy's at a 2% positivity rate right now. And the latest guidance from the state is that, we do our best to, if we do need to shut down, that we do it by classroom or even by school before moving to shut down the whole system. So I don't think we're at a point where we're seeing that spread that would be necessary to fully shut down anything, but just in general, we're going to continue to watch those numbers and listen to the State Department of Public Health, local Public Health Commissioner Ruth Jones, and just what they're saying. We're not scientists here on the school committee, but we are going to listen to those that are.
Of course, you're much, much better prepared now to do full remote if necessary, because there are so many more computers available now, right?
That's right. So the technology update we got the other day was nearly 4,000 Chromebooks had been handed out to families to date. 76 Wi-Fi hotspots so students could access that remote learning. And we got another order of 625 Wi-Fi hotspots from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed. So if there's anyone out there that you know of, or maybe you yourself are having difficulty connecting to the Wi-Fi. QPS would be more than happy to help out those families. So that's where we are right now. That funding originally for that technology came from the CARES Act, and we're glad that working alongside AmeriCorps, we were able to make that investment.
For folks who don't know, Anthony, what is a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yeah, so a Wi-Fi hotspot is essentially a mobile Wi-Fi that you plug into your computer, and it allows you to connect to the internet. Effectively, it's like instead of using, I guess, direct Wi-Fi, you're using the data. For folks that use their cell phones and say, "Oh, we ran out of data," effectively, it's just a free version of that that helps you connect to the internet that you can plug right into your computer.
Yeah. So even if you don't have internet service in your home, you can still access it.
That is correct.
That is good news. And how do folks access those if they need them?
So there are principals should have access to them, or the central office, the Coddington building, either or. I know the entire team in QPS is more than happy to help out.
Okay, great. Another big item that you're still dealing with is finding a replacement for Aaron Perkins, right, for special education director.
That's right. And while I don't think anyone could actually replace the work that Aaron does, so we being the interview team, conducted 8 interviews, as from my recollection, for the new special education director. And my understanding is that by the next meeting in early December, that Superintendent Mulvey will make an appointment, at which time the school committee will confirm that appointment. So we're looking forward to having another member of the team. I think especially right now, we could use all the hands we can get. And in particular, the special education director position is just so critical to the success of our students.
Okay, so this is an appointed position by the superintendent, not by the school committee.
That's correct, yes. Yeah, it works a little differently. It's one of the only positions outside of superintendent that the school committee even has a hand in. It's an entirely different process than the school committee appointing a superintendent. So he does have that authority, but we just need to really review the resume and make sure that, yes, this person is qualified to take over the position.
Okay, very good. Has there been any discussion thought about what's going to happen for the graduating class of 2021, Anthony?
Not just yet. I think we're still recovering from this past spring and just trying to figure out and plan what the best way to send off the class of 2020 was. I think that'll be a conversation for the beginning of 2021, as we get a better sense of, where things stand with cases, what do projections look like, where do vaccines stand. I think the recent developments from Moderna and Pfizer are good news for all of us, across the globe. And, there's a chance that, vaccines get implemented in the spring, maybe even in the summer. So that'll be a conversation that we'll need to have, again, with the input of the families and students that are going to be impacted by any decision that we as a school committee make. But I think the good news for the class of 2021 is that we had a year of planning with the class of 2020, and we'll have more time to adjust and make sure that we send them off right when it comes time.
Any change in graduation requirements because of the pandemic?
So we haven't heard just yet from the governor and DESE. Last spring they did issue guidance, so there was only so much we could do for an in-person ceremony in terms of spacing. And I think it'll all come down to case numbers. So, when the cases go up, we get more limitations on the number of people you can have in a gathering, whether that be indoor or outdoor. My recollection is right now, outdoor gatherings are capped at 50 people. And if that number held for a graduation, it would be pretty difficult to have an outdoor graduation, even if you're socially distanced. So there's going to be, I think, a little bit of difficulty But again, that's those numbers are just if we did it right now. But who knows what really six, seven months from now will look like.
Better, we all hope, I'm sure. What about the community service requirements for graduation? Is that still sticking or no?
Yeah, we had talked about that at our last meeting, and we actually took a vote to implement a one-year waiver. For those that don't know, there is a community service requirement for our students. They do need to complete, I believe it's 10 hours of community service in their freshman, sophomore, and junior year. Leading up to senior year, they're supposed to have it completed just about by the time they enter their senior year. However, this past year hasn't exactly been easy. So we did waive the requirement, at least for this year, because we don't want to put anyone's health and safety at risk or force them to enter into a situation where, you know, that's maybe the reason that they wouldn't graduate. So we're taking a one-year reprieve, but for the most part, you know, our students have been fantastic about giving back to the community in general. And we'll hopefully, once this subsides, we'll be able to re-implement that.
Sure. It's, you know, I think reasonable. It was a relatively new policy. Anyway, it had not been in existence for very long. High blended learning, Anthony.
I'm sorry. Can you say again? I'm so sorry.
I said hybrid learning. You know, it's funny. I was talking to the head of school at the Woodward School earlier this week, and they're starting up a community speaker series for the entire city, bringing in specialists to talk about, you know, the long-term effects of hybrid learning. I'm sure the QPS is thinking about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is not ideal, to say the least. You know, right now, for folks that don't know, we have students in Group A is in Monday and Tuesday of every week, and Group B is Thursday and Friday, and everyone is remote on Wednesday. But even then, I mean, that type of instruction it's not ideal. That's not to say it isn't effective, though. So when we went through, we got a presentation just on hybrid learning is going. Got to see a better idea of, you know, what does a day in the life of a hybrid learner look like at this moment in time. You know, I think our teachers have really, they've put in a lot of effort to make sure that, you know, the learning environment is the best that it can be. So I just want to give a hat tip to them for all the work they're putting in. But one of the things that had struck me about the presentation we got was about the career and tech programs. Particularly around, you know, culinary at Quincy High, automotive at Quincy High, seeing what the work that they're putting in now, instead of being, you know, a few hours at the end of the day per week, it's an entire day that those students are spending at those programs. So it's actually allowed those students to have a more in-depth experience within those programs, do things they wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. So hearing about the updated modules from them was really, really interesting to me. And I think in general, you know, the main reason we're having success with the hybrid learning model is because of the positivity that that our teachers and that our students are approaching the model with.
Any kind of glaring problems that need to be addressed with the hybrid learning that came out through the surveys?
Yeah, so one of the surveys, just for folks that may not know, we did send out surveys just on the fall reentry to parents and to teachers, and hopefully by the time this interview is up and running, we'll have one out to students as well. We went over the parent feedback at our meeting. We had a little over 3,100 overall responses, 1,600 from the elementary, 700 from middle, about 900 from the high school. And those numbers are rounded up, so they're not going to be exact there. But what we found from those numbers was, you know, 44% of families have borrowed Chromebooks to this point. One of the most requested pieces of technology outside of Chromebooks that we hadn't provided to this point were headphones. We had 179 families just request headphones. So we got an order of 250, and we've reached out to those parents, and we're hoping if, you know, folks need them, that we will be able to provide headphones for folks. But we also went over things like safety, you know, social distancing and mask wearing. You know, we ask, you know, how are we doing? Are we promoting within our schools mask wearing? Are we promoting social distancing? And we got really high marks for that. Only, I want to say 2.5 or 3% disagreed or strongly agreed that we were. The rest had had agreed or strongly agreed that, that we were doing a good job with that. And I think that in and of itself speaks to why we're not seeing community spread within our buildings, is because we're adhering to mask wearing, we're adhering to that 6-foot distance as best that we can to make sure that we can continue in-person learning. We went over just teaching and learning in general. You know, is the amount of live instruction your student receiving appropriate? Is the amount of asynchronous appropriate? And just over 75% of respondents agreed or strongly agreed that we were. So I think, like with anything, there's going to be a little bit of room for improvement there. And in asking about homework, you know, if you remember, Joe, in a more recent meeting, we updated our homework policy at all levels to try to do our best to make sure that learning is happening within the classroom and the homework that kids are getting outside of school is supportive and speaks directly to what they're learning within the school environment. So what we found within a breakdown of elementary, middle, and high school there is that really high school students were more likely to say, or high school families were more likely to say they're getting too much homework than any other grade level. So elementary school, 68% said it was 30% said it was too little, and only 2% said it was too much. At the middle school, those numbers were 66% appropriate, 24% too little, and 10% too much. And then at the high school, 61% appropriate, 10% too little, and 29% was too much. So, you know, I think in general, it breaks down by where you are within our system. And I think it can be difficult, especially right now, and just with folks, their students' social, emotional health, which we also asked about. This was an interesting response that we got. So to the question, you know, are you concerned about your child's social emotional health? Those within the hybrid program, 61% of them said they were. In the remote program, only 47% said that they were. And I think in general, you know, not to make any assumptions, we're still looking at the data, trying to get a better feel for folks' responses, or rather written responses, that will help inform, you know, why people answered the way they did. It was just that, you know, those that are sending their student to school in general, I think, are more likely to be worried about their social emotional health. And just in general, this question was definitely the one that I think showed the most room for improvement. And, you know, everyone's worried about social and emotional health right now, and mental health. And I think in particular, as the cold weather creeps in and, you know, winter comes, you're not able to get out, maybe go for as many walks as you used to, or just be outside. And, you know, that's something that we're concerned about as well. And we're doing our best here to try to make sure that we provide as many extracurricular activities, you know, outside of the traditional school format for our students and their families. And we also asked about that. The numbers did improve a little bit. Roughly 68 or 70% of respondents, both in hybrid and remote, did say that their child had opportunities to participate in programs and activities that promoted social and emotional well-being. So again, you know, a little better on the numbers, but still, I think a lot of room for improvement there. Because it's just so critical that we address those issues as we move forward.
Yeah, I don't think anybody disagrees that the best case scenario is to have kids in school as much as possible.
Right.
You know, so trying to get there is the job at hand right now for everyone.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's not an easy one, but you know, that's why we do surveys like this. It's really important that we get that feedback, we get a deeper level of understanding of, you know, where we were, where we are, and where we need to get to as we move forward. you know, some of the next steps that we'll take from this survey. We'll share, you know, all the responses with the public, but we'll share them with the superintendent's leadership team, with the reentry task force. We're going to celebrate our successes, and we're going to look at, you know, how we can strengthen the areas of improvement that we need to make strides in. So it's always a process with this, but I think we'll game plan over the next month or so, and we'll do our best to try to implement some new strategies, I think, as we enter the new year.
Yeah, one more meeting in 2020, hopefully, right?
we only say hopefully because, you know, if you need to have an unscheduled meeting, that means that there's a significant issue that's arisen in the school. You know, at one point in time, really from late March and April all the way through early October, we were meeting at least once a week, you know, with the superintendent search, you know, dealing with issues of racial bias within our schools, dealing with reentry into, you know, into school during a pandemic. So there was a lot to talk about, and there still is a lot to talk about, but I think we have settled into a more regular meeting schedule every 2 weeks, and getting into a more regular meeting schedule for subcommittees as well to discuss, you know, important items that are in our subcommittees. And so we'll see. We have one more meeting in early December, and I also believe we'll have a teaching and learning subcommittee meeting and an equity, diversity, and inclusion subcommittee meeting as well. So that's what we have sort of to end the year, but you know, never say never on having an unscheduled meeting, especially now.
Sure. Well, hopefully next time we catch up with each other, we can announce the new special education director.
I think that sounds like a plan, but until then, for the folks at home, if you ever need to contact me, I can be reached at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com. And if you're curious just about QPS issues in general, you know, I think the best place to start would be the website at quincypublicschools.com.
Oh, sounds good. Thanks so much, Anthony. Very happy, healthy holiday to you, your colleagues, and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving to you as well.